This is Where We Live. I'm John Dankosky. Coming up on the show, one of our favorite bands, Wise Old Moon, will stop by our Chase Family Studio to play a live concert for us, and we'll talk with the band's singer and songwriter, Connor Milliken. But first, the Tiny Desk Concert has become a real important staple of American life. A lot of bands want to get behind the Tiny Desk at NPR in Washington, where Bob Boylan, the creator of All Songs Considered, works. He's put on bands from all over the country, and last year they put on a fairly amazing contest in which thousands of bands sent in small videos of them playing behind desks, including a lot of bands from right here in Connecticut. To get you ready for entry in this year's contest, which is going on right now, we're going to sit down and talk with Bob Boylan. He's the host of All Songs Considered from NPR Music. He joins us today from the studios of NPR in Washington, D.C. Bob Boylan, welcome back to Where We Live.
My pleasure.
So first of all, tell people who might be interested in putting together a video for your brand new Tiny Desk contest, what are you looking for? I mean, what makes a really compelling video for you?
It's really all about the music first. You can shoot it on your phone. That's fine. What we want is, and what I look for always, is something that's singular. There's something that only that band, that person can do. It is, they own that sound. It is unlike anything else. Or at least there's a sense of something that no one else can match. And so sometimes that's in the voicing. Sometimes that's in the words. Sometimes it's the way the instruments are done. Sometimes it's a twist on something familiar, but the twist is original. That's what I want.
I know, because I follow you on Instagram and in a number of other media sources, that you see a lot of shows every year, like a lot of live music. How many live concerts do you see each year, Bob?
This past year I saw, and I count bands as opposed to shows, I saw 506 plus bands this past year, which was way down from the year before, which was 662.
Okay, so this is the context I kind of want to give for our listeners here. So you see a lot of music live, but when you had this contest last year, I can only imagine that you then even expanded on the number of bands from around America that you saw because you were watching all these videos. How many videos did you end up watching?
I didn't count, but it was over 2,000 and under 2,500. So it was a lot. I'd come home from shows and I'd sit down until 2-3 in the morning watching videos, and then during the day watching videos, and I'd try to take breaks so it felt fresh. And again, looking for the same thing, looking for something that is unique. And it was fun. Sometimes it was a video, like we'll feature videos that are just quirky, that may just be good music, but the video might be fun. They're not going to be contest winners per se, but they'll get attention. They'll get a bunch of attention on our Tumblr page and stuff, the Tiny Desk Concert Tumblr page, where, you know, someone might do a video on a mountaintop that is beautiful or in a snowstorm, or they'll take it. All these have to be done behind a desk, so the imagination is wide open. Someone did a video with a desk in an ocean. It's just like, it's so much fun to watch that stuff. But that's all wonderful. The winner, though, is all about the music.
Seeing as many bands live as you do, and then seeing all of these bands submitting from around the country in these videos, is it telling you something specific in a big way about the music that's being made in America today? I mean, can you kind of tell a story about what's happening in music right now from all the music that you're seeing?
You know, you see ripple effects. You see a ripple effect of people who might like, some bluegrass band, and then all of a sudden you see tons of upright bass player, banjo players, and so forth. Got a lot of that. I think that's always been true. Somebody leads away and does something that no one is really doing, and then you see tons of much younger people doing something similar. And I think that's always been true in music. I think many musicians, if I could use the analogy, wear other people's clothes when they start and eventually develop a style of their own out of that. Very, very common thing. So a lot of folky bands. And so that was a big thing. Still a lot of singers, songwriters, that's not going away, and that's wonderful. But that's the hardest thing, to be unique. Somebody and their guitar, that's tough to make something singular out of. But when you do, you know, it's a winner.
That is interesting, of course, this idea of looking for singular artists who are standing out, but probably are at an early enough stage in their career that, as you say, they're probably wearing somebody else's clothes. See, talk a bit about finding that differentiator in your mind? Because I'm sure that, you know, a lot of the bands we talk to who have not really broken too far outside of Connecticut, they do sometimes have those sounds that influence them, and you can hear them starting to shed those sounds. And I'm sure you hear a lot of this too. What's the nugget that you're looking for in someone as they're trying to expand what they're doing to maybe a wider audience?
In a live setting, it's comes right down to sheer talent, which is why I go to live shows as opposed to hearing records. Because, I mean, I listen to records too, but you can see it right away when you go to a live show. You can see and hear whether the person actually can really sing well, because in concert settings, they're under duress. It's not ideal. They're often on a long tour. It's often long days. Sometimes the acoustics aren't ideal. And so you see the talented people rise to these sorts of hard, difficult circumstances, rise to the occasion. And it's okay if, you know, Mumford and Sons was a band I was thinking of when I thought of all these spin-off sort of bands that came and applied to the Tiny Desk contest. And it's okay if they sound a bit like that. It's not too hard to see that in their, let's say, voice inflection or in the way they paint a picture with their words or the way they might harmonize with their three buddies, that they have something that will take them to the next level.
The last year's winner was a great singer from Oakland, a fantastic Negrito.
Lost in a crowd.
What can you tell us about him and sort of what happened since winning this contest last year? Because that's obviously, with these thousands of entries and so many people interested to see what you present on a regular basis on Tiny Desk Concert, that was kind of a big deal. What's happened with him?
Well, he's gotten to play lots of festivals he wouldn't have played at before. He's put out records and has a major record coming. He's got, you know, real management in terms of, like, publicity and stuff. And that stuff matters. It's hard to get the word out. And when you hook up with someone who does publicity, who is trustworthy and has a track record of finding talented people and they're getting the word out, they're going to get heard by people like myself who will pay a little more attention. I think Fantastic Negrito still has a lot more people to capture their imaginations. I think he's still getting his sound out there. I think he's still growing. But his charisma and ability to connect with people, he's sort of an R&B artist, it was phenomenal.
One of the things that we hear from bands a lot here is that as much as there's all these new ways to get their sound out, and they can share music on videos, and they can share them on Facebook, and maybe even have a cool video go viral, I keep hearing the same thing. If you want to build an audience for yourself, you head out on the road and you just play night after night. And that's really no different than when you and I were growing up, Bob. I mean, are you hearing the same thing from artists now?
There is nothing better than bands going out on tour. It isn't only connecting with people and building an audience, but it's about making yourself better, finding your flaws, strengthening your weaknesses, and just honing in on your craft. And that happens by going out on the road. It's grueling. It's really, you know, it's both a beautiful world and a really super difficult world.
So for this year's Tiny Desk contest, Bob, are you going to do some of the same stuff, like a Tumblr page or something that allows us to see some of the bands that maybe won't win but may give us some more stuff to listen to?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, the Tumblr page is up and running, and the submissions are starting to pour in, and we'll see some interesting stuff on that Tumblr page highlighting things as they come. So I encourage people, not just selfishly, so I don't get 4,000 submissions on the final day, but I recommend you get the submissions in early so we have time to highlight some of those amazing things we see when they all come in one day. Like last year, I think the last day, we had 2,500 submissions. it makes it harder to highlight your great video. So get it in soon.
Yeah, I was going to say, musicians and news people tend to work on deadline very, very well.
Very well.
Yeah, the 2500. We saw one that you posted last year, and I'm sure you had a few of these too. Meredith Rose is someone from Connecticut who wasn't on our radar.
And every little fight we fight, and every little moment we buy, could be thrown across the room and put back together by you. I used to jump on you as soon as you walked through the door and kiss you endlessly as we fell down to the floor. And now you don't even notice me. You don't even take the time to see the girl that you once loved is about to give up.
She actually wrote in and she said she made a musical connection through the Tiny Desk contest. And I'm sure you've heard a lot of these, right? People getting together, maybe making connections that wouldn't have ever been there if not for your contest.
It is just my favorite part of the contest. Yeah, we have a winner. We love having a winner. But really my favorite part is that artists will get together. They'll find a space that maybe they never went to before. They'll work on a project together. They'll find some videographer that they've never known. And all of a sudden you've formed this little tiny community of 6, 8, 12 people that would not have happened. And then they have this document of that that is remarkable. And often that leads to one more step, you know, of doing something together. And it just keeps getting better. And that's my favorite part of this whole contest is that community that forms. I do a thing every year called the RPM Project, which is just make an album in a month. And I just love getting together with friends and just making a record because someone says, do it. It's just sometimes you just need, like you say, news people, music people need deadlines. I'm that way. You tell me I got to make an album the month of February, I'll do that.
Yeah, last thing for you, Bob. Did you ever expect that when you started putting bands behind the little desk in your office in the old NPR building across town that it would ever be as big as it is right now?
It's really funny, Johnny, you ask me that now because last night at our All Songs Considered 16th birthday party, we brought on stage Laura Gibson, who was the very first Tiny Desk concert person we ever did. And we did it because I'd gone to a show and really couldn't hear her singing because it was such a noisy bar, and my colleague Stephen Thompson jokingly said, we should invite you to play Bob's desk. And she did, and when I shot it, we showed this little, if you watch the very first Tiny Desk concert, I say in there, well, I don't know what's going to become of this. We're going to put this on the blog and just see, you know, maybe it's the start of something, maybe it's not. The truth is we really had no idea. I felt a connection when people started writing in saying how much they loved the intimacy that was happening there. That's when I began to feel that there was something there. But no, I didn't imagine it.
Bob Boylan's the host of All Songs Considered for NPR Music. He's the music maven behind the Tiny Desk contest and concerts, which you can find, of course, online at NPR Music. The contest is accepting submissions until February 2nd. Don't wait until the last day if you want to get your entry in. Bob Boylan, great to talk to you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much, John. Be well.
Coming up, we've got one of our favorite local bands playing for us, not behind a desk, but in a big studio filled with a very enthusiastic crowd. The band is Wise Old Moon. We'll hear some music that they have on their latest record played live for us. We'll also talk to their frontman, lead singer, and songwriter Connor Milliken. Wise Old Moon's coming up next here on Where We Live. This is Where We Live. I'm John Dankowski. Wise Old Moon is a Hartford-based Americana band made up of Connor Milliken, Dan Liparini, Stephen Cassano, and Sean Rubin. Their second full-length record called Don't Take Off came out last year. Now they've got shows booked all across our region, including a couple right here in Connecticut. They're going to be at Infinity Hall in Hartford January 29th and at Cafe 9 in New Haven on February 2nd. They recently dropped by our CPBN Chase Family Studio to play some of their new songs for a crowd of some of our staff. In just a moment, we'll check in with the band's frontman, Connor Milliken. But first, here's Wise Old Moon playing live on Where We Live.
Out driving on a Wednesday night, No, no, I'm just not right. Passenger seat. I move on closer. She grabs a hold of me. Yeah. No, no, this just can't be. Why not? Don't take off if you can't look down. Try.
Wise Old Moon on Where We Live. A little bit more applause for them, if you don't mind. We're broadcasting live from the Chase Family Studio. It's right here at Connecticut Public Broadcasting Network, and we're thrilled to have this band. We've been thinking about having you guys for a long time, and it's good that you're here.
Yeah, we're glad to be here. Thanks for having us.
The band is Connor Milliken, who is the lead singer and the guitarist. He's written the songs that we'll hear today. Dan Liparini is playing guitar as well. Steve Cassano on the drums, and Sean Rubin plays bass. Connor, I know that this band that you have right now has been a little time in the making. I've seen you play out before, but it was a slightly different band. Tell me about how this band came together.
Well, I formed the band Wise Old Moon in late 2013, and it has been a little bit of a transition. I've spent the better part of the last 3 years trying to find the right group of people. And we've had a lot of great players in the band, but as we were finishing up the recording of our most recent album, I met these guys in the West End of Hartford, and they kind of became the core group. So this song, Don't Take Off, that we just played kind of began to take a new meaning as we were listening back to the album and as we had gotten these new players in the band. So just, you know, don't take off on me, boys.
So this band's been coming together for a while. This is the second record you've put out as a band, though.
Yes.
How's this second record different from the first one that you put out a couple of years ago?
We spend a lot more time working on this record. The first record was made deep in the woods of Chester, Connecticut at Dirt Floor Studios. And we had a lot more acoustic elements. We were all kind of gathered in a living room by a fire, and it was very organic. And this second album, we've spent over the course of 6 months, mainly at a studio in Amherst, Massachusetts, a professional studio called Northfire. And we just kind of put everything under a microscope. And with the new members, we were really able to focus on the delivery of the tunes and the arrangements. And that's where especially Dan Liparini had a big part, or arranging horn parts. And we got to incorporate a lot more professional musicians that we hired. So more instruments, more electric sounds, and just all around bigger energy, which we wanted to focus on kind of capturing our live set, which we've been working on the road.
When you're describing your music to people, maybe you're trying to book gigs when you go out on the road, what do you tell people about the band? I mean, you use the word Americana, and that's something that people talk about a lot. Is that how you describe the sound of the band?
Yeah, I think what's nice about Americana is it encompasses so many genres of music, and, you know, from blues to rock to country to folk, we're kind of in the middle of all those places. So not to put ourselves in one place, I think Americana allows us to kind of explain the sound so people know what they're getting, but we get to have a lot of fun with the songwriting, and we don't get to think too seriously about what kind of genre we want to be.
Yeah, America's a pretty big place, right?
It is.
I mean, it can be a lot of things.
Yeah, it definitely can. I think that the roots in Americana music is becoming a lot more popular now, and there's a range of artists who play within that, from more blues-focused artists to more country rock focus artists, and I think we're kind of right in the middle.
We're talking with Wise Old Moon. They've got their second full-length album out. It's called Don't Take Off. We'll be telling you about some gigs that they've got coming up in the area. This is Where We Live. It's a special concert they're playing for us at the Chase Family Studio. The next song you've got for us is called Skyscrapers. Can you tell us about the song before we hear it?
So this song I wrote about a guy who I knew. He grew up in New York City, and when he was younger, he got a chance to get away from the city on a camping trip, and he looked up into the night sky and he saw stars for the first time. So this is about that feeling. It's called Skyscrapers.
This is Connor Milliken and Wise Old Moon here on Where We Live.
Thank you.
That's Wise Old Moon performing live in CPBN's Chase Family Studio. The song is called Skyscrapers. It comes from the band's new release, Don't Take Off. You can see a video of Wise Old Moon playing for us at WNPR.org/where we live. When we come back, more music and conversation. This is Where We Live. This is Where We Live. I'm John Dankosky. Coming up on Monday's show, here's a riddle for you. What's yellow and green, but mostly red? How about all those traffic lights you hit on your way to work? On our next episode, we will explore the science of traffic light programming. Yes, we'll hear from some traffic engineers in Connecticut and Utah. We'll also find out how new smart signals are improving traffic flow in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, my hometown. Hope you can join us for this traffic conversation on the next Where We Live. Today, we're excited to have Hartford-based Americana band Wise Old Moon on our program. They just came out with a new record called Don't Take Off. They've got shows coming up around Connecticut, including at Infinity Hall in Hartford on the 29th of January and at Cafe 9 in New Haven on February 2nd. They recently stopped by for a live performance in CPBN's Chase Family Studio. And in between songs, I caught up with the band's frontman and songwriter, Connor Milliken.
So you reformed a band with a lot of guys who have, you know, real serious musical chops, trained musicians.
That's right.
Are you a trained musician? I mean, you go to a music school?
I'm the only untrained musician in the band at this point.
The only untrained, and you're, I'm sure you're learning stuff all the time.
Oh, that's what's really great about being with this group, as it's always a learning experience, and they have so much to bring to the table as far as songwriting ideas and musical arrangement ideas. And I think that's what we're really looking forward to, is beginning to write as a band together now that we've got this core group, and it's really exciting.
And how does that work, melding those two things? I mean, an untrained musician, somebody who's been writing songs for a long time, singing with a lot of groups, but then bringing in people who have, you know, sort of a different musical background. Tell me about melding those two worlds.
I think it's perfect because, you know, it's like the best of both worlds, because sometimes technical ability can kind of hold you back from being creative, and sometimes my inability to have technical knowledge can hold me back from executing the songs that I want to write. So I think that, you know, meeting in the middle of those two worlds is what allows us to be creative and to hopefully create unique songs and kind of stand out.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Boston, Massachusetts, and I've been living in Hartford for the last 10 or 11 years.
Do people ever come up to you after a show and say, well, clearly you're from somewhere down south?
Yeah, I think that we're maybe a little unique, and there's not a ton of Americana country bands in the Hartford area. So I think that maybe I'm sticking out a little bit in that way. But my dad was from Texas, so I grew up listening to a lot of John Prine and Willie Nelson. And so I think that's where the southern roots of my music come from.
And that's what you grew up listening to, some of your dad's records. And then what did you transition to? What were the things you were listening to, your formative years, that you made you want to write music?
Well, I kind of was a chameleon. I listened to a lot of like heavy punk music for a while in my rebellious teenage years. And then I quieted down a little bit and got really into very quiet folk music. And then I started finding out about Bob Dylan and Woody Guthrie and some of the traditional folk writers, and then kind of came full circle back to a lot of the southern alt country, that type of stuff.
Yeah, I hear a lot of, I'm sure you're influenced by Wilco.
Definitely.
And that's a band that has been, you know, a lot of different things, and just like you, and Jeff Tweedy is a guy who sort of came out of a punk scene and an Americana scene, right. And he was not a trained musician, and he's surrounded himself now with a whole bunch of people who are amazing musicians. He's just changed over the years. It sort of seems like, in some ways, it's a little bit of the pattern you're following.
Yeah, I'm definitely inspired by Jeff Tweedy, especially. He seems to be kind of the working man's musician, coming from middle class, and just seems like he kind of went door to door playing his music for years until he was able to kind of transcend those genres and be able to create just really original music that people like. So I think, you know, when I envision our future career, it would be just working really hard and writing listenable music and not taking too seriously what genre we're playing in.
We'll be talking a bit more about getting out on the road and some of the shows you have coming up. But let's hear another song. And we're going to hear the song that's the title track from your first record. It's called The Patterns. Tell me about it.
The Patterns was one of the first songs that kind of came to me all in one thought, and I kind of wrote it in one moment. And sometimes those songs for me don't take meaning until years later, and I think that it's almost like a healing process, especially with this song. It's a lot about psychological behavior and kind of habits that we form and that we're unaware of. And once you realize these patterns and these habits that are forming, it's pretty hard to have that self-realization. And so I think this song's kind of about that thought process and just discovering more about yourself and growing and kind of dealing with that honesty that sometimes you have to have with yourself.
The band is Wise Old Moon. They're here live in the Chase Family Studio at Connecticut Public Broadcasting, just down from our studios where we usually broadcast Where We Live. We're thrilled to have the band here on Where We Live.
Beat us around for the hell of it. Wait on the corner for hours to find out that you missed out. Thinking about what you meant to me. Taking all the wrong roads, but I'm in the driver's seat. And this car's driving me. And to think that I know nothing, only how to keep these patterns to myself. Packed all my bags and I'm on my way. Gonna visit some friends, but I don't have much to say. And I'll say something anyways. Thinking about what a mess I made. I try to pick myself up, but I don't think I can today. I guess I'll just slip away. And to think that I know nothing, only how to keep these patterns to myself.
Thank you.
I love that arrangement. That song changed a little bit from the record, right?
It did, yeah. So when we started, we had a trio with violin and drums and myself. And since then, we've got the low end and, you know, the electric guitar. So we've adapted it a little bit.
And once again, the band is Connor Milliken, Dan Liparini, Steve Cassano, and Sean Rubin. They are a wise old moon, and they're here on Where We Live. You know, you're talking about meeting some of these guys in the West End of Hartford, and also about playing at Eric Lichter's Dirt Floor and working with Telefunken. We got Dave Fiore from Telefunken doing sound for us today.
That's right.
It's this amazing collaborative music scene here. I mean, it's a small town, Hartford, and it's a small state, Connecticut, but like... you know, Sean was here before. He did the sound for West End Blend when they were right here.
Right.
And it seems like everyone knows each other. Do you like being a part of a scene like that where everyone seems to play on everybody else's records?
Yeah, I love – it just feels like right now Hartford's a blank canvas and there's so much opportunity for young people like us to do what we want to do for a living. And it's nice because I feel like we're a big fish in a little pond where, you know, we could move to Nashville maybe where – there's a ton of bands like us, and we might not have as easy of a time doing things like this, for instance. So it feels like we have a lot of opportunity here, and it's not oversaturated, and it really allows us to kind of cut our teeth and figure out what our brand of music is and where we want to take this without any limitations.
But that's part of the thing, too. It's not just that there are more fish in Nashville. It's like there are a lot more sharks, too.
Definitely. You
know what I mean? Like there's a lot more competition and a lot more people who don't want to help and don't want to be part of helping each other.
Yeah, everybody here is working together, and I think having, you know, there's other bands like in the funk scene or in the rock scene that we might not be able to play a show with, but when we see them advancing and they see us advancing, we really, you know, encourage each other to just keep doing better. And I think that kind of environment is what's allowing Hartford to really just have... it's becoming a really creative hub, and it's becoming not just a pass-through point. It's becoming a stop, you know, and I think that's what I see for the future of Hartford is just the perfect center location between New York and Boston where great musicians can come play. And I think that that scene is just beginning to happen, you know, or at least in my experience. But I'm sure tons of people have felt like that along the way, too.
You've got a bunch of shows coming up, heading to New Hope, Pennsylvania, the Delaware Water Gap on January 23rd, 29th in Hartford at Infinity Hall, and right after that, February 2nd at Cafe 9 in New Haven. There's an example of sort of a brand new place and a really, really old place. Infinity Hall in Hartford's brand new, and I know they've been very good to you, but Cafe 9's like, that's the gold standard as far as rock clubs in the state, so it seems like you're hitting some of the hot spots.
Yeah, we're really starting to form great relationships with some of the club owners and some of the promoters around the state and around the Northeast. And Cafe 9 especially is a great stopping point for a lot of bands that we can open for as national acts. And it's the same with Infinity. And we've played out at the Norfolk venue and the Hartford venue, but they've just been so generous to us. And we had our album released there in October of this year. And it's just been amazing to work with a place that has, you know, just such an amazing theater and a lot going for them.
Of course, you can't play all your shows, you know, within the confines of Connecticut. You're getting out and about. Tell me about taking your music on the road. How's that been so far, and what are your plans for that this year?
It's been great. Right now, we're just having a lot of fun traveling as a group and kind of becoming more roadworthy as a group. We've been doing a lot of weekend runs, two-day runs and three-day runs around the Northeast, and our goals are to get further down south where we feel like we might have a good time and maybe our music will be well received down there. So just planning to start building some more 2-week tours and 3-week tours after a bunch of the weekend runs. It's just kind of a process of building up to it. So that's our plan for now.
I was just talking with Bob Boylan from the Tiny Desk Concerts and from NPR Music about this, about how it's so easy for musicians to get their music out now, right? You can make a short video and maybe it can go viral and people can see it. But you talk about being roadworthy. I mean, there's a difference between people hearing your music and, like, getting out on the road and showing it to people. Can you tell me about that difference for you, like, playing music live for people as opposed to just exposing people to your music?
Yeah, I think that that's, like, we're a live band, and we pride ourselves in our live shows and our energy that we bring to the stage. So it's a lot different when we're, you know, marketing ourselves on the internet or via email. And fortunately, we have a manager, Brett Marks, who goes to the University of Hartford, and he handles a lot of that stuff. But when it comes to, you know, showing up at the clubs and being just ready to play, and it's a lot of work, and it's a lot for four guys to hop in a car and drive 500 miles for a 45-minute show at 10 p.m. at night and getting home at 3 in the morning. So it's a labor of love, and that's ultimately where we'd like to be, is just on the road, constantly touring.
But that's the other thing about this new band, and I think what you are as a live band that we'll hear next, actually, in the last song you're going to play for us, is you're really a rock and roll band. I mean, I think a lot of people see a guy in a hat with a guitar and maybe a harmonica on, going to sing some folk songs, and that was a lot of the feel of your first record. But live, you guys are pretty loud, and you put on a good show. I mean, is that part of what you feel like you've grown into, being a live band that can capture a crowd and make people really pay attention in a noisy bar?
Yeah, I think we had a tough time with finding our fit and finding our market, especially in Hartford. That's what I was mentioning, being able to cut our teeth here, because there's not a lot of listening rooms and there's not a huge Americana scene. So we had to find our own way to fit into this scene. And I think that part of that was thinking about how can we get people to listen and how can we get people to engage, you know, and that's what we've been working on, is our live performance and the delivery of these songs in a live environment.
The last song you're going to play for us is Separate Lives. Tell us about the song before we hear it.
Separate Lives is about love and loss and relationships, and it's one of the more energetic rock and roll songs on the album, I would say.
This is Wise Old Moon, and they're live here on Where We Live. That's Wise Old Moon performing Separate Lives, live in CPBN's Chase Family Studio. Their new record is called Don't Take Off. I want to thank the band Connor Milliken,
Dan Liparini, Steve Cassano, and Sean Rubin. Thanks also to Dave Fiore of Telefunken for recording our concert live in our studio. And also to Heather Dawson, Joe Koss, Ryan King, Todd Gray, Brett Marks, Tyler Russell, Joshua Gastel, Takiya Whittle, Kevin Cool, Mike Dunphy, Paul Pfeffer, Larry Reming, Katie Glass, and Elizabeth Welsh for helping with our live in-studio concert. A lot of people went into this, but it was a lot of fun. You can see a video of Wise Old Moon playing for us at WNPR.org/where we live. Our program is regularly produced by Lydia Brown and Tucker Ives. Our technical producer is Kion Wolf. Our digital editor is Heather Brandon. And the executive producer of Where We Live is Katie Solarski. I'm John Dankosky. This is Where We Live. Once again, here's Wise Old Moon. This is an encore rendition of a song by John Prine. It's called Sweet Revenge.
I got kicked off of Noah's Ark. I turned a cheek into a kind remark. There was two of everything but one of me. And then the rain came tumbling down. I stood my chances and I held my ground. And then I watched that ship go sailing out to sea. Take it back, take it back. No, no, you can't say that. All of my friends are not dead or in jail. No, no. Through rock and through stone, the black wind still moans. Sweet revenge will prevail without fail. I took a ride on a big jet plane. I drove an English teacher half insane. Making up jokes about bicycle spokes and red balloons. And then I called up my local DJ, but he didn't have much to say. And then the radio learned all my favorite tunes. Take it back, no, no, you can't say that. All of my friends are not dead or in jail. Stone, the black wind still moans. Sweet revenge will prevail without fail. Come on, Dan. Yesterday.
Just yesterday.
Get out of town by noon.
Get out.
You're coming on way too soon.
Right now.
And besides that, we never liked you anyway. Take it back, no, no, you can't say that. All of my friends are not dead or in jail.
Thank you so much, everybody.